VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, the roar of socialism is growing louder. We hear of equality, and even more recently, we're hearing of equity, for all to be and have the same. We hear the rich need to pay their fair share. Those who have much are required by government mandate to give to those who don't have what they may have. That's the growing social justice movement as well, a push towards socialism, even steps toward communism. Month after month, this roar is growing louder and louder. You see this push ever increasing in a legislative agenda that's pushing progressivism and shunning conservative values. Well, our guest today indicates that socialism is not biblical, and today he's here in studio to tell us why. In our studio today, we'd like to welcome Dr. David Brown. He's pastor of the First Baptist Church of Oak Creek, has a master's in theology, a PhD in history, specializes in the history of the English Bible. In addition to his study of the English Bible, he's also president of Logos Communications Consortium, which operates logosresourcepages.org. Pastor Brown, good to have you back.
Well, it's good to have you back. It's good to be back, Jim, and address this issue, which is really decimating our culture as the left pushes more and more into socialism and tries to pass laws to force us to go there.
In the document you've written and preached also, Why Socialism is Not Biblical, you indicate that biblical Christianity in America here is disappearing. What makes you say that?
Well, if we go back, let's even before America was even thought of, but I think of Jamestown and John Smith and Smith, who was a governor there, he had to push on the minds of the people. If a man doesn't work, he should not eat. And that's basically 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. And we take a step forward to the United States of America. Our political system, as so many programs you've dealt with, it's based on the Judeo-Christian ethic, the Old Testament, New Testament values. And our founding fathers, they separated church from state because Christianity isn't a political thing. But when I say separation of church and state, all I mean is that they didn't want a national religion for the United States like Germany had, like England had, and so on and so forth. They never separated God from state, and they believed, and we see it in the Declaration of Independence, they believe that rights came from God, Jim. Our rights came from the Lord.
Well, we hear a lot about today about the separation of church and state. Is the church supposed to pull back? Is the church supposed to withhold itself from its influence upon a government and upon a nation?
Well, absolutely not. If you think of our country's, one of its songs, it says, "Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing," says, "Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King." God is the founder of liberty. Psalm 119, 45 and 46, it says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies before kings, and not be ashamed." We shouldn't pull back. We should move forward, Jim.
What understanding did our founders have of God?
Well, I'll just tell you, our founding fathers, they held the scriptures in high regard. And for instance, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, they spoke of the Lord four times. The laws of nature and of nature's God were endowed by the Creator. And then they said the supreme judge of the world. And it says, "And with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence," Jim. And I'll never forget the first time that I went and saw the Liberty Bell. And it says on the Liberty Bell, a quote from Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10, it rang the very first time, July 8th in 1776, and it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. I'm telling you, our founding fathers understood that God was the author of liberty.
So there is a definite connection between God and liberty itself.
There is a definite connection. We can see that many places. Our Lord Jesus Christ even said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the truth is, of course, the Word of God, Jim.
Pastor David Brown with us here today on Crosstalk, Why Socialism is Not Biblical. You write in your book that you fear our nation finds itself in the same place as depraved Israel, as referenced in Isaiah 59. What brings you to that conclusion?
I'm sad to say it, Jim, but very clearly in Isaiah 59, if people would read 1 through 15, we see that none call for justice, it says in verse 4, plead for the truth. Their feet run to evil. Their paths are crooked. Judgment is gone far back. And here's what's happened in the United States of America since I was in high school, 1962. The Supreme Court banned prayer in the public schools, Jim. So they extricate God from prayer. Every morning we would say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and our teacher would lead us in prayer for lunchtime. It was a simple prayer, but nonetheless it was a prayer. 1963, that was gone, and then they removed Bible reading from the public education. Next in, or 63, 62 was prayer. Then in 73, of course, we've had over 62 million babies murdered by abortion, and their blood cries out from the ground, Jim. And then in 1980, they jerked out the Ten Commandments. So might some, you know, they might offend somebody. They removed them from the public schools. And then on June 26, 2015, the Supreme Court passed a law contrary to what we passed in Wisconsin. They legalized a perverted, that's my term, they perverted marriage, same-sex marriage. I mean, you're XX and XY, and the whole structure of a society is based upon a male man and a female woman, Jim. And so God has been systematically dispossessed from our culture. And I'm not any fan of Aristotle, but I do believe what he said, nature abhors a vacuum. And when God has been removed from a culture, there's a vacuum there, and something is going to fill that vacuum. And I fear that first, humanism has filled the vacuum, and I believe that that's the religion of this nation today, is humanism. But even worse than that, socialism is coming to fill it now.
Well, friends, what's so interesting in all of this is that we, as we just heard from Pastor Brown, as we have systematically removed God from every aspect of society today, yet when something tragic happens, a mass shooting or something else, we say, "Where were you, God? You know, I can't believe in God because, you know, he did nothing about this." Yet we have pushed him out of the classroom. We pushed him out of the media. We pushed him out of, you know, our political framework, every aspect. We push him out when a disaster happens, and we say, "Where were you?"
Yeah, and the thing is that too many people look at God as some kind of a cosmic genie, that he's just sitting there in the lamp and doing nothing. They can pay no attention to him. They can live debauched lives. They can do what they want to do, and then all of a sudden they call upon God, and they expect God to listen to them. I'm sorry. God heareth not sinners. Mm-hmm. Don't blame God.
You indicate also in your book here that if God has not written Ichabod on the USA, he will likely soon will do it. What do you mean by that? What is Ichabod?
Well, Ichabod goes to the Bible, and Ichabod, you can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 14 through 22. And what happened was the high priest Eli, the daughter-in-law died in childbirth when she heard that the Ark of God had been taken, and her father Eli had fallen, father Eli and her husband, had been killed, and so she named the child that was born Ichabod, which means the glory is departed. Mm. I believe that God has blessed this nation because this nation has honored him. And as this nation dispossesses God, as this nation extricates God from society, they become more pagan. And I'm praying that the Lord, for the righteous remnant, I'm praying that the Lord doesn't utterly come and destroy us. Jim, I see his hand being withdrawn as all these things come in, but I'm praying that, like Sodom and Gomorrah, God will have mercy on us and Christians will wake up. But what alarms me is that many Christians are falling for these things and beginning to come in to let them take place in their mind and accept them, Jim.
What we see going on today is not by accident, but it's actually part of a plan. And you reveal that by Nikita Khrushchev in 1960, a quote from him. What did he say?
Well, I remember Nikita Khrushchev. I remember him pounding with his shoe at the United Nations. And Nikita Khrushchev said, "We cannot expect Americans to jump from capitalism to communism." But now listen to what he says. "But we can assist their elected leaders in giving Americans small doses of socialism." Now, here's the clincher. "Until they suddenly awake to find they have communism."
Wow.
Wow. It's,
so this is the pathway to communism
this
that we're
is,
on.
This is the pathway to communism, and it shouldn't surprise us, though it surprised me. They did a Gallup poll. And the Gallup poll says socialism is as popular as capitalism among American youth today. They found that about 50% of young adults actually favor socialism. Capitalism, can you imagine? Capitalism and socialism are tied in their popularity with that age group, Jim, and that's very alarming. It's the gimme philosophy.
And that's evidently a product of our educational system.
Well, I'll tell you, the government educational system, they are and have been systematically removing the founding of our nation. I'm thankful for, I think his name is DeSantis, Governor DeSantis in Florida. He has removed critical race theory teaching from all the schools in Florida, and he's offering teachers $3,000 if they will take a class on the founding of the United States of America, the Constitution, because these things have been promoted in the public schools where America is now an evil nation by what they're promoting in the public schools. And yet we're the most generous nation that has ever existed on the face of the earth,
yes,
Jim.
Yes. I think it would be good for us to define some terms here, but we're going to take a break first. And when we come back, friends, we're going to take a look at what is meant by socialism. What do we mean by communism? What do we mean by capitalism? More on this after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, why socialism is not biblical. Back in a minute here on VCY.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast are the continents eroding?
Chris, the answer to this question might surprise you. We know the volume of the continents above sea level. When rain falls on the continents, it erodes them grain by grain, and we can measure how much solid material is in the water as it finally reaches the ocean. As it turns out, the continents are eroding at such a rapid rate, they'll all be gone in 14 million years. But according to evolution, the continents are hundreds of millions of years old. Yet they're eroding so fast that they're not going to last. Something is wrong with that millions of years picture. The measurements we make are much more in line with the creation, flood, young earth account. The continents don't fit the evolution idea, but they do fit the back to Genesis idea.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Thank you.
Why Socialism is Not Biblical. That's our topic today. Dr. David Brown, our guest today, pastor of First Baptist Church of Oak Creek, Wisconsin. And we are talking about a booklet that he's written, Why Socialism is Not Biblical. We'll be giving you some information on how you can obtain a copy of this here a little bit later in the program, so be ready to jot down the information. Pastor Brown, let's define our terms. We talk a lot here about socialism. We've referenced communism. We've talked about capitalism. So let's define our terms. What do we mean by socialism and some of the background here? And then while you're at it, let's also define communism and capitalism.
Well, socialism was a term coined in the late 1700s, early 1800s. And it was used by Henry de Saint Simon to say that socialism was the opposite of individualism. That's how he used the term. But it was popularized in the late 1800s by Karl Marx, Frederick Engels, Leon Trotsky, and some of the other ones. And this is where power is concentrated into the hands of the state. During the Russian Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, socialism became identified as the transition, the transitional phase between capitalism, and then you had socialism, and finally communism. But let's get specific. Socialism here is basically a society that the government owns the property. It's a collective government ownership and administration of the means of production and the distribution of goods. The government controls it all. There is no private property. It's a system of society, a group living in which there is no private property. You can't own anything. Now, communism. Communism comes from the Latin word communis, which means to hold everything in common. And there is no private anything. The government controls both, production and consumption. Now, capitalism, again, that refers to private ownership of production and individual property, people using their own money, using their own capital. And then their goal is to earn a profit. That's true. And they get to decide how they would consume that which they have bought. But I'll tell you what, in relationship to socialism and capitalism, there's a lady named Ayn Rand, and I think she nails it right on the head, Jim. There is no difference between communism and socialism except in the means of achieving the same ultimate end. Communism proposes to enslave men by force, socialism by vote. And then she says this, it is merely the difference between murder and suicide.
Wow. That's
quite cool. We're seeing that today. And I'm convinced, Jim, after studying for this booklet and read a 500-page book, and you had a great book that was written on socialism by one of the men you've had here on Crosstalk.
William Federer.
Yes, William Federer has a good book on it, but I tried to condense it down. But I'm convinced that there's demonic roots, Jim, of socialism.
Yeah, tell us about those demonic roots.
Well, socialism finds its roots in Karl Marx. He lived in 1818, and Marx wrote many books and poems in his lifetime. And when he was young, he had an interest in God, but we know from his writings that he had a demonic transformation. His soul turned to evil. He was at war with God, and he allied with the powers of darkness. I'm going to read a little bit from his poem called Pale Maiden. That says, thus heaven I forfeited, I know it full well. My soul, once true to God, is chosen for hell.
Hmm.
Then he wrote another poem, it's called The Fiddler. It says this, how so? I plunge without fail, my blood back saber into your soul. Thou art God, neither wants nor wists. It leaps to the brain from hell's black mist, till hearts bewitched, till senses reel. With Satan I have struck my deal. He chalks the sign, beats time for me. I play the death march fast and free. Karl Marx, he wanted to make his own rules. He wanted to rule his own world. I think of Erich Böcklin, he wrote this. Marx knew that he was a god creating a world. He did not want to be the creature. He wanted to see the world from the position of God. It's clear to me that socialism is demonically inspired, and it's designed to displace God. It's designed to demolish Christianity. They push God aside. They don't want anything to do with God.
Let's bring social justice into it, because those have become the buzzword, social justice. What is meant by social justice, and how is this evidenced?
Well, social justice is the view that everyone deserves or has the right for the equal distribution of wealth. They want the equal distribution of opportunities, they want privileges within society. Really, individualism is done away with in the struggle for social justice, Jim. And really, the riots are still going on. They were blaming all those riots and stuff on Trump that are going on. They're still going on in Portland, Oregon. They're still going on in Seattle and other places as well. And what they want to do, they want to defund the police. They want to loot and burn to get what they want, because they want everything to be equal. They want to play Robin Hood. They want to take from the rich and give to the poor. But let me just tell you something. If you're really going to push for social justice in my mind should begin in the womb. Social justice begins with the helpless unborn. There's no more helpless than that. But of course, they wouldn't want anything to do with that. Social justice is really the axiom that's built on what Karl Marx said, for each according to his ability and each according to his need. But the question is, who determines the need? Well, actually, it's the state. Marxism promised to end the class struggle. They were going to do that by abolishing private property, and they were going to then distribute it equally, Jim. They wanted to, let me just tell you that I believe that this is what you'd call soft totalitarianism.
Hmm.
Now, we know what hard totalitarianism, if you don't do what the government says, they'll arrest you, they'll jail you, they'll make you disappear. But soft totalitarianism, the political powers in control, that is the large corporations, technology, the billionaires like Google and Twitter and others, they've become so deeply entwined in our lives that if you don't toe their line, I'm in danger of having several of my books not be sold now in one of the major book distributors, because of the topics, because I mentioned things exposing Black Lives Matter, exposing Antifa, and all those type of things that are on there. So it's the cancel culture. The cancel culture, Jim, that's soft totalitarianism. If you are labeled a racist, if you're labeled a conservative Christian, if you're labeled a sexist, a homophobe, a xenophobe, or anti-LGBTQ, opportunities will disappear. And that's exactly what happened in East Germany. I had a pastor friend in East Germany, and I was able to be into East Germany just a year after the wall fell. And his children, very bright children, but they had to settle for menial jobs because he was a Bible believer. They had spies in his church, so his kids couldn't get a real good education. His kids couldn't get the best job, because their opportunities disappeared. And that's what we're seeing today, Jim, is that in this push for social justice, they get to define what is acceptable and what is not acceptable.
Pastor David Brown with us here today. He's pastor of First Baptist Church of Oak Creek and has written a powerful booklet, Why Socialism Is Not Biblical. And we're going to get into some of the very aspects of why socialism is not biblical here in just a moment. But let's just get a little bit more information about Karl Marx himself.
I have to, if people would really look at what Karl Marx did. I mean, he was bright. There's no doubt about it. He was German-born Jewish, and he got his doctorate when he was 23. But look at this, Jim. He never ran a company. He never held a political office. He was never self-sufficient. He never held a job. He wrote a few articles he got paid for. His family lived in poverty. He had seven children, three only lived into adulthood. The poor conditions which he saw his family in caused them to die of malnutrition and other things. And once things got so bad that his wife Jenny pawned his pants so that he could buy food for, so that she could buy food for the family. What a great tragedy. And the only source of his income was really Friedrich Engels, who he collaborated with to write the Communist Manifesto there. But Marx was a mess, Jim, and how anybody would follow his teachings when they recognize his history is strange to me.
You point out three errors of socialism, each of which violates Scripture. What are those errors?
Well, the first is the assertion that another person's gain must come at a person's, the other person's loss. That's really a myth. Proverbs chapter 10, let's get the nitty gritty. It says, Proverbs 10 verse 4, he becometh poor that deal with a slack hand.
Hmm.
And then it says, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. It's perfectly feasible that numerous people, they can compete in a free market and do well, Jim, based upon what we read in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. So it isn't true that another person's gain must come at another person's expense. Secondly, Marx's theory of socialism necessitates a government that is free from corruption.
Wow.
That is just not going to happen. You know, there's an old saying that says power corrupts fallen mankind and absolute power corrupts absolutely. People do not naturally become less selfish. When a nation or a government or an individual for that sake removes God from its workings, something is going to take its place. And in this case, what we see is when government has been removed, socialism is coming into its place. And so I'll tell you what, until we have a utopia, that's not going to happen until King Jesus rules and reigns.
Amen.
And so there's a third one, but shall we look at it next time?
We'll do it right after the break. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Pastor David Brown with us, Why Socialism Is Not Biblical. We'll also tell you how you can get a copy of this booklet following the break. This is Crosstalk here on VCY. Stay with us.
There is an overwhelming apathy that has invaded many churches and youth groups. The apathy has become so pervasive that many have abandoned sound teaching and resorted to entertainment. Instead of God's Word, activities are used to build the church or build the youth group. This troubling trend is captured in the DVD, Play the Flute, by Rich Cristiano. The story of a youth director who takes over a youth group filled with spiritual apathy. As he tries to motivate his students to get serious about their relationship with the Lord, he finds himself in an uphill battle. Although discouraged, what happens next is something he and his students will never forget. Play the Flute is available on DVD for a donation of $18 or more to VCY America. And for a limited time, additional copies to the same address are available for a donation of just $15 more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Our guest today on Crosstalk, Dr. David Brown. He is pastor of First Baptist Church of Oak Creek, and our topic is Why Socialism is Not Biblical. Pastor Brown, you actually have preached through this. You have made a booklet on this, and it can do more than just what this program does. You have it in book form where people can obtain copies of this and get it out to other people as well.
Right. It's available for $5 postage paid. That includes the postage. And all you have to do is send me a check or $5 to David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53155. For a suggested donation of $5.
And, friends, you can put the $5 bill in there or send a check and just ask for the socialism booklet or why socialism is not biblical. And he'll get that sent off to you. If you want multiple copies, just put that amount in for each copy. And Pastor David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. We were talking about three errors of socialism, each of which violates the scripture. Before that last break, we got through two of them, but there's a third.
Yeah, the third one is the teaching of socialism that is a person's identity is bound up in what he does. I just want to tell you that's a humanistic way of thinking because the Bible tells us in Psalm 139:14 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and that right well. And so while it isn't culture, people get their value from perhaps what they do, but we're loved by God, and that's why so many people need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, Jen.
So you've got this big foundation here for this book here on socialism. Your title is Why Socialism is Not Biblical, and you actually make some enumerated points as to why that is. And the first one you have listed in here is socialism is based on a materialistic worldview alone. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, I just lift a quote from Bernie Sanders. The issue of wealth and income inequality, now listen to this, is the greatest moral issue of our time. It is the great economic issue of our time, and it is the great political issue of our time. That just is not true. Christianity affirms both the material world and the spiritual world, and the problem is not the unequal distribution of wealth. Christianity views the greatest cause of human suffering to be spiritual in nature, and that's the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus said, in John chapter 12 and verse 8, the poor are always with you. Christ made it clear what the priority must be. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, the apostle Paul instructs us, not that I speak in respect to want, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So a dialectic materialism is that everything is around the material existence is a lie. There's a spiritual aspect. Socialism looks at the materialistic worldview as all that there is. There is no God. But secondly, Jim, socialism penalizes diligence. We need to understand that the scripture is dispacked full of personal accountability. Socialism destroys personal accountability and the biblical work ethic. I mean, let's just look at a few. Proverbs 10:4, he becometh poor that deal with a slack hand. And then we look at Proverbs 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Karl Marx, his whole life, mooched off of others to provide for his wife and for his children. But 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. And so you have the fact that socialism penalizes diligence. And then actually, When you think about it, socialism it sanctioned stealing, Jim. It's one thing if I said to you, okay, Jim, I'm going to give you this cell phone because I have two. But if the government comes and says, I'm going to take your cell phone and give it to somebody, that's stealing. Socialism does not believe in private property. Socialism leads to the seizure of private property, and it dictates individual behavior. And the Eighth Commandment says, thou shalt not steal. The Eighth Commandment is repeated in the New Testament. And all I can think about is the illustration of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who Naboth wouldn't give them the vineyard, so they had him killed so that the king, Ahab, could get his vineyard. It didn't work out very good for King Ahab, and all that was left was Jezebel's skull and the palms of her hand and her feet to be left after judgment. But the fact of the matter is that socialism sanctions stealing, and socialism promotes envy. Socialists, they want free stuff, Jim. And if you didn't hear that, I mean, look what's going on now during the campaign. They wanted free health care. They want free college. They want free child care. There isn't anything that's free. Somebody has had to pay the price. My salvation was not free. It was free to me, but Jesus Christ is the one who paid the price for my salvation. I think of what, she was my favorite, Margaret Thatcher. They called her the Iron Lady. Mm-hmm. Pennies don't fall from heaven. They have to be earned here on earth. I don't know. Bernie is promoting envy and covetousness, as well as many, many others who are on the political left today. And socialism is not compatible with Christianity. In my booklet, one of the last things I have in my booklet is, the meaning of peace is the absence of opposition to socialism. Who said that? Karl Marx said that.
Nine.
One last thing from economist Walter Williams. Can a moral case be made for taking the rightful property of one American and giving it to another to whom it does not belong? He says, I think not. That's why socialism is evil. It uses evil means, coercion, to achieve what are seen as good ends, helping people. We might also note that an act that is inherently evil does not become moral simply because there's a majority consensus.
Pastor David Brown, our guest here today on Crosstalk. I'm opening phone lines. Our number, 800-733-9829. Why socialism is not biblical. Our topic today, if you've got a question or brief comment, 800-733-9829. So people long for peace today, but the kind of peace that Karl Marx spoke of that you just quoted there is not what people are really longing for, is it?
It is not. It is not, because their peace is the same as Islamic peace. It's peace as long as you do what I say.
Yeah.
That's it.
Topic socialism here today. And again, our number, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. In your booklet, you close off this booklet with the question, where will you spend eternity? Why is that a part of this book?
Well, the reason it's a part of this book, for people to really grasp what's going on in our world, they need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because there's a war going on, and the doctrines of the demons are being promoted in this culture. And the way to have things right is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because then you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, because the Bible tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Jim.
Friends, again, that's all in this booklet. It's entitled Why Socialism is Not Biblical. Pastor Brown is making this available for a $5 donation that includes the shipping to you. And if you'd like to obtain a copy, this is the address where you can send that gift of $5 to Pastor David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. We will be repeating that before the program ends, so be ready to jot it down. Let's begin in Pensacola, Florida. We have Veronica calling. Hi, Veronica. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Veronica Maher. I'm a born-again Christian, and what this thing about the stimulus check they're giving everybody, now it's going to go into my bank automatically. What do I do? I mean, I don't understand. I don't know what to do. It's crazy. I don't understand why they're giving $1,400 to people. I think that's part of socialism.
Well, it follows the really the $1,400 check is not the issue. The liberals are funding so much more of their pet projects through this.
Right.
You're a taxpayer. They're going to take taxpayer money to give that to you. I think it'd be a good idea to tithe to your church on it, but even if you tear it up, it's still there, still on the account. So, but
right.
The worst thing is, you are right.
I'm 87 years old.
Yeah.
I don't pay tax now. It's the first time they don't pay tax. So the thing is, I have children that they need things to help too,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't know. The thing about your conscience, you feel bad that you're taking money, and giving it to everybody, and it's...
Thank you for raising that, Veronica.
They're taking it from future generations. There's no doubt about mm-hmm. it, and that's one of the drifts. That whole bill is toward socialism. That's true.
Thank you, Veronica. Mike is calling from Somerset, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yeah, first of all, appreciate your show, and thank you very much for the information you bring forth. We don't see it in the... pretty much anywhere else, for that matter. But the question I have is, has your guest heard the message preached or the sermon preached by the individual in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, that was jailed?
I know that there was a pastor jailed in Edmonton, Alberta, but no, I have not heard the message.
I would suggest you look it up. He does an excellent job of laying out the role of the church and holding government responsible when they err in their God-given duty to protect our rights, which are inalienable and given by God. He does an excellent job of laying that out, and it's our job as the church to call out and call to repentance the leaders of this government, leaders of our government, local, state, and federal levels, when they are outside of the boundaries that God gives them to protect our rights.
And we need more of that message coming from church pulpits
these
days.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your call. I'm up against a break. We will be back in 60 seconds. Our guest today, Dr. David Brown, and the topic, Why Socialism is Not Biblical. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Recently, the former Director of National Intelligence for the Trump Administration, John Ratcliffe, appeared on Fox News to declare that governments all across the globe have documented the sightings of, wait for it, UFOs. He goes on to state that these objects are flying at huge speeds, supersonic speeds, but guess what? They don't give off a sonic boom. They're making turns and maneuvers that are beyond the technology of today, and frankly, they're beyond the ability of a human being to sustain such 90-degree turns at that rate of speed. What are we looking at? Well, I believe we're looking at something from the spiritual realm, preparing the world to deceive the world. Preparing the world to deceive the world. Ron Carlson, my friend, who passed away in June of 2011, finished his book, Fast Facts on False Teaching, predicting this would be how the world would be globally deceived.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Pastor David Brown is our guest here today with an interesting quote.
Yes, Ray Armas, he was born in Cuba, and here's what he said. Socialism made my life in Cuba unbearable and dangerous, and I find it ridiculous that anyone in America would want that. When's the last time you saw someone escaping the U.S. going on a raft to socialist Cuba?
That's true. So true. We're going right back to the phone lines. Richard has been holding in Washington State. Richard, you're on the air.
Thanks, Jim, for taking my call. In my opinion, I think it's clear, socialism is in direct conflict with the 10th commandment.
Thou shalt not covet.
That's right. It is. Mm-hmm. You're right. We address that as one of the problems, and that is the whole thing. It's the gimme philosophy. They want it. They want it. They want it. They don't want. They'll take it from somebody else. Take it from the rich. Give it. And that's right. It's in direct opposition.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
William in East Troy, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Pastor Brown, I appreciate your ministry over the years and really appreciate the subject today. I was wondering if you could address to the audience the demise of Madeline Murray O'Hare and what happened to her. Obviously, God is not mocked. And if you could address what happened or how her children turned out, because I think it's rather telling how in that timeline you gave that I'm sure that Madeline Murray O'Hare did not anticipate her demise and how it would happen. I can take my call off the air.
Thank you, William.
Yeah, all I know is Madeline Murray O'Hare disappeared. I'm not sure that anybody knows what happens to her, but I haven't kept up on that. But I do know one of her children that she used. He turned Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and for a time he spoke for the cause of Christ. I haven't heard much of, I think his name was William, I haven't heard much of him in recent times, but he would be getting pretty elderly now. So I'll just tell you, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man or a woman, for that matter, soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, Jim.
Yeah, so they did talk about her disappearance in the news. They talked about a very grisly death that she had as a result as well, to a very tragic end to meet the one that she denied in heaven.
Yes, right.
Stood before him. Let's go to Phil in Mitchell, South Dakota. Phil, you're on the air.
Sometime yesterday I was watching a program on the Fox Business Channel, and they were talking about Senator Bernie Sanders going after some two mega super rich dudes because he said they have too much money and he wants to take their money to give to the poor. And someone on the program said that Bernie Sanders was kicked out of a commune because of a slothful behavior, because he just did not want to do any work whatsoever in the commune.
Well, I think Bernie Sanders is an interesting character. Since his notoriety, he's acquired a couple of extra houses, very expensive houses, and so on and so forth. So, hey, I think Bernie Sanders should give a bunch of his money away if that's what he wants. But that's not what socialists want. They want the elite to be able to dictate whose money goes where, Jim.
Thank you, Phil. Let's go next to Wayne in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Oh, I have a question that this continued borrowing of trillions of dollars, won't that lead to eventual absolute bankruptcy of the country and a takeover of all major areas like energy, food production, education, so on.
This is my opinion, not necessarily the opinion of the WVCY or anything else, but I think the United States is bankrupt now. I think that the Federal Reserve is cranking out money that isn't worth anything, and as long as people keep taking it, it's okay. But see, I have three great-grandchildren, and you know who's going to end up paying for this, barring the Lord's return? It's going to be my great-grandchildren, because you can only keep borrowing for so long, and then what you're going to have, I remember the pictures when they used to teach history in Germany. They were bringing wheelbarrow loads full of currency to try and buy a loaf of bread, Jim. Mm-hmm. And there's a time coming where the piper is going to have to be paid. And the problem is that China owns a great deal of our debt.
Yeah, thank you, Wayne. Let's go to Deborah in Cookeville, Tennessee. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was just going to add that this goes right along with the Bible also, that money is the root of all evil.
Well,
and people, they just want more and more and more of it. Hmm. And
it's
biblical truth.
Yes, I want to say that the love of money is the root of all evil.
The love of money.
Yes.
And wanting it.
Yeah, and that's
and
right.
Desire for it.
Yeah, love and greed and all that kind of stuff. So many people, you see so much money that's been tossed around. It's the sin nature.
Yeah.
The sin nature.
The love of it. Thank you, Deborah. George, our final caller from West Virginia, you're on the air.
Yes, my name is George. I was just wondering what your position would be on concerning the Christian church and the art of war. I know the Bible says there's a time for peace, there's a time for war. I think sometimes we forget that sometimes we have to fight and contend for the things that are important to the nation and to our well-being. So I wonder what you thought about that.
Yeah, I think there's cause for a just war. I think that there's cause for individual protecting his life and his self. Jesus told his disciples to go out and buy a sword, so there's a time for peace and there's a time for war. That's as far as I want to take
We've
it.
Done a previous program on that very
yes.
issue as well.
Yes, we have.
Thank you, George. We're out of time here on the broadcast. I would like to mention that if you'd like to get a copy of this booklet, Why Socialism Is Not Biblical, it's available for a $5 donation, and you can send it to this address, Pastor David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. That's Pastor David Brown, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. And just mention I want the socialism booklet or Why Socialism Is Not Biblical. He'll get that sent off to you. Thank you, Pastor, for being with us.
Thank you, Jim, for the opportunity. And Christian people, wake up. It's coming like a freight train.
It really is. And we appreciate your time here today, the research, the study, the passion that goes behind this as well. And sadly, friends, another topic we didn't get to, but there are many churches that are caving in to the socialistic mentality as well. So drop them a note, P.O. Box 173, Oak Creek, Wisconsin, 53154. Thanks for listening and joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.